Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cutthroat scumbags were coming out of the woodwork and dying much-deserved deaths. Now, don't get me wrong. This was no class act group of guys like you got in here. Not at all. Now, these guys were world-class turds. And I'm sorry, but they got what they deserved. It was judgment night in that place. World-class turds.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Oh, crap. Hold on.
That was cool.
That didn't work right. There we go.
Today I learned that it's not all one file.
Nope, not one file.
Me too.
Oh, it's never one file. Hey, everybody. Welcome to a very learning episode of Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 635. I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me today, Brian. He keeps all his cool stuff hidden behind a fake poo toilet done away.
No, don't look back there. Poo.
Gross.
Oh, hi. This week on Film Sack, we are a mariachi bandero's worth of desperate desperados looking for some revenge after Netflix murders our one true love. Our left hand, no! How we skip the intros. Quick, someone point us to the nearest hot librarian for some impromptu wound repair and hot sex so we can enjoy this 1995 action crime drama set in Mexico while we open our guitar gun case that makes us do the O-face. Oh, yeah. I don't even miss my left hand anymore. Anywho, if you ever have the option to get the band back together by calling up your homies Campo and Quino, you know, the ones you never shut up about, well, hide the kids, hide your future wife, because I'm pretty sure those guys sure have spent the past decade figuring out how to weaponize their instrument cases and doing lunges so they can strike those uncomfortable poses of death. Honey, I'll be out in the garage working on a project, and honey, don't go into my secret shitter lair covered in shit. There's a shot in the face Tarantino in there. Randy, take my car. That's what I bought it for.
Shit. It's very well done. You've used about 14 lines that I used for a million other things in today's show. So nicely done. Also with us, Randy, he keeps all his little knives in his fancy Mexo vest. Ooh. Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Randy.
Don't just stand there in the lavatory stall we covered in shit by loading the shit into a slingshot first and then using all of our strength to throw it at the walls and the floor and the ceiling and each other. Come on through this secret door that suddenly makes you realize this is the widest shit stall that has ever existed, and enter the room that we like to call just smells. Here in the smells room, we're going to teach you how to use the best weapons that Mexico has to offer. I'm sorry, so the dumbest weapons that Mexico has to offer. And you can too if you just reach for my three favorites. Number one, knife girdle.
Ooh.
the genius of the standard Mexican knife girdle is that everyone can see that all they need to do is knock you down and your knife girdle will kill you for them. Oh. They completely forget to shoot you while scrambling to try to trip you. Mm. Number two, sex toy spurs. I'm just kidding. No. Number two is guitar case rocket launcher. And you're going to want this one with the optional super ridiculously lightweight modification that allows it to be easily hoisted, but somehow magically provides no kickback. Boom. Okay. Number three, say hello to the codpiece gun. Ooh. You'll be racked with excitement every time you fire 50 caliber bullets from the surface of your scrotum. We call it the ball buster.
Wow. I want all three of these weapons stat. Well, finally, we have Brian. Use the car. That's why I bought it. Ibit.
Wait a minute. That sounds really familiar. Excuse me. Hey, guess what, folks? Still have a cough. This is one that was a little tricky to do. And it sucks, but I think it's funny. So enjoy it. And you really might want the lyrics on this one.
All right.
Here we go. So tuck in, everybody, shall we?
Great pick.
It's got a long intro.
Yes, it does.
Desperado, the barster's beer, not a pina colado. I watch this from my home in Colorado, and Netflix suggested The Devil Wears Prado. Mariachi, that rocket fried that car like it was a hibachi. Those close-ups made Cheech's face a little blotchy. Rodriguez loves Banderas like Joni Les Chachi. Tarantino's cameo appearance is just so piquito. He has a hard time being discreto unless he's asking to see someone's fito. I don't want to come across like some Buscemi pendejo, but how badass is Danny Trejo throwing knives like Karate Champ on Nintendo? Body double, saw the used one so there would be no trouble, but it wasn't to keep her future roles humble. It was that she wouldn't scrape on Antonio's stubble. Crotch gun sniper, that recoil will sting you like a big nasty viper. It'll end your career as a professional bagpiper, and you'll spend your life just wearing a diaper.
That's nice switch up.
That is the, thank you. And that is the most syllables I've ever tried to jam into a tiny little space.
That was a lot. It was a slow start, but it was just, it rolled.
Yeah. And I love how some of the words like, what was it? The Devil Wears Prado. That made me laugh.
Yeah, had to do a little poetic bending license there. Yeah,
exactly. Got me with the Eagles piano completely.
Yeah. I was supposed to. Yeah.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Because it feels like the obvious choice. And so that's why I wanted to start with that.
Well, well done. As always, we're talking about the film, the 1990 film Robert Rodriguez directed called Desperado, a sequel in a trilogy that would end badly, start interestingly, and be really, really great in the middle, in my opinion. We are going to now hear from Fake Fletcher. Oh, real quick note about Fake Fletcher. So I put out a thing on the Discord so people can submit their willingness to want to read from our patrons. That starts in earnest next week. It took a little bit to get organized. So today you're going to hear what may be, depending on how active people are, maybe our final Fake Fletcher from the AI Fletcher. I don't know. I don't know for sure, but boy howdy, did it step up to the plate for its final thing with just one quick generation. I didn't change it. I didn't tweak it. I didn't ask for anything special. Here's what it gave us.
Desperado!
Oh my God.
Musician and gunslinger El Mariachi arrives at a small Mexican border town after being away for a long time. His past quickly catches up with him, and he soon gets entangled with the local drug kingpin Bucho and his gang, plus a secret poo room filled with Tarantino.
Oh, fantastic.
Secret poo room. We all notice the poo room.
Yes, hard not to notice the poo room.
Yeah,
We're starting to sound like a frustrated kindergarten teacher.
Well, maybe that's why we need to retire the poor thing, you know? Like,
maybe it's a good time for you to put your toys away and take a nap.
Yeah.
Kids, it's time for school.
That thing at the beginning. What is going on, dude? Like, well, I didn't ask for that. I don't know why it does that.
Anyway,
worth every penny of the $5 a month I spend for that service.
Agreed.
Anyway, it's Desperado. This is the movie. Antonio Banderas, Salma Hayek, and a whole bunch of other folks that you know. Cheech Marin shows up in this thing. There's a way bigger role than I remember for Steve Buscemi. I thought he was barely in this.
Same. It was, for me, it was reversed. The Tarantino and Buscemi, how big their roles were. I thought there was a lot more Tarantino, a lot less Buscemi. But
yeah, I also thought there was way more Danny Trejo. I thought he was here through the whole thing. He gets killed off like early,
unceremoniously. In that, I mean, just see ya, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were several things where I felt like, am I watching the same movie that I saw back in the day? And I guess it's just because there's not a lot to this movie, so there's not a lot to remember. You know, there's not a lot of like dialogue.
Really, it's mostly action.
If you take away Buscemi and Tarantino, you've taken away 80% of the dialogue in the movie, right?
In fact, Buscemi's intro at the top this movie starts off so strong. I remember this movie being something I really liked, but I didn't really revisit it too often. I didn't know why, but now I remember. Starts off fantastic, ends on a whimper. Didn't care for it.
Totally disagree.
I didn't care for the ending. Loved the ride.
I must have liked it at the time. I must have thought Steve Buscemi was amazing, but now I was just like, oh my god, this movie starts badly. It's like pathetic at the beginning, and then the end with the brothers and in the courtyard. I feel like this movie has such a strong ending.
Yeah. I feel like the battle in the middle of the street should have been your climactic battle, and not the battle that takes place with the brother.
You're my brother.
The Bucho business.
How did you not know your brother did that? And who was the guy in your dream?
The dream part still doesn't make sense to me. I've seen this movie like 12 times, and I don't know what that was to this day. Like, was that another brother? Was that him supposed to be younger? Was that...
Bucho was? I'm assuming that's what we're saying. He didn't know who the Bucho was until the very end. Is he the final Bucho?
He knew he was the Bucho because earlier he went to shoot him and couldn't, and then couldn't tell her why he couldn't shoot her, but it was because he knew it was his brother. So he knew. But the whole movie is about tone and over the top ridiculousness, and it's an homage to an older B movie that Rodriguez and Tarantino for that matter used to love. And I don't know. It always worked really well for me, and I am not a fan of that third one. It's terrible, in my opinion.
Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Is that the sequel? Yeah.
That's the one. No, not Once Upon a Time.
No, that's a different one.
What is it? It's on the tip of my face.
It's the tip of my face. That's not the right word either.
That's not it. What?
It is...
Oh my gosh, how am I not doing this? Hold on.
There we go. Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
It is called that.
That's what I thought it was. Yeah. I didn't argue.
It just sounded...
El Mariachi, Desperado, Once Upon a Time in Mexico. And for me, it goes Desperado, Once Upon a Time in Mexico, El Mariachi for how I enjoy them.
Oh, really? I like that first one first.
How do we fit in From Dusk Till Dawn?
Passes along the crotch gun. Tom Savini for that.
I mean, they're not related, and they're not in the same universe, as best I can tell. But
they're in the same universe, my friend.
Well,
they must be.
They are, but I don't think there's any. I mean, there's. Look, Cheech Marin's in both. Cheech Marin's in both. She's in both. What's her name? Samuel Hayek's in both, but they're not the same characters. They're totally different people. I don't think you. Yeah. I mean, they're definitely movies that are made. You know, one feels like at the end of this thing, he gets Tarantino in there. They do their quick piss story and then shoot him in the face. Yeah. And then you feel like after the camera cut, they went, "So you want to do the thing together? We can do a thing together." You know, and then I feel like that's how Dusk Till Dawn probably more, came out of all that. So I don't think it's shocking that it feels sort of like these movies are the same, but, I don't know. It's just the way Rodriguez makes movies. All his movies kind of feel like that until you get to Spy Kids and that bullshit. Mm-hmm.
Which is to say, he is a good example of someone who becomes a better filmmaker by making movies, right? Like he doesn't really know what he's doing. He's kind of just like flailing at first, and then with each film,
He seems like a guy who loves movies, can't wait to make them. Will scrape $50 to make that first movie. Which was El Mariachi, he became an indie star from that because he took very little and made something kind of rad. And then now he's got a little money. And builds from there. It does feel like this is a guy who just pure passion wants to make movies. And so he
makes them. You can say that about a lot of folks. Kevin Smith is a similar kind of thing, right? Really loved movies, funded that first thing, but used it as a learning experience to learn how to make movies, basically. And his directing has gotten better and better and better over the years.
I agree. Although there are some real bummers in here. Like
Gigli? Or you mean for Robert Rodriguez?
Rodriguez, yeah. Like Rodriguez did... What, like,
I kind of like those Spy Kids movies, by the way. At least the first one.
Hate them, can't stand them. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, they're fine. For Shark Boy and that sort of thing, I could probably live without.
That's all fine. I mean, it wasn't directed at us, I mean, so it's fine, but it, you know,
yeah.
No,
I love the L Ray Network. That was you ever seen the L Ray Network? Kind of usually can find it on. Mm-hmm. Like Roku or something like that. And it's kind of like Quentin Tarantino. Quentin Tarantino makes movies. Not only does he make movies, loves movies, and he loves international movies, anything that's kind of got like a, you know, an indie vibe to it. So he's managed to bring in a lot of movies that we might not have been familiar with. And in same thing here with Robert Rodriguez, he brings in movies from, you know, international levels and exposes them in the U.S. market. And the L-Ray Network was a fun place to do that.
Still a thing, isn't it? It's still a cable network.
I'm not sure how active it has been. I think it kind of fell into the, you know, we need another channel to put on our streaming service that's bundled in with TVs. And so I think it's kind of there, but I think a lot of us just regurgitated. At one point in time, it was being really well developed and managed, and you know, you would see director interviews that were, you know, current, but now it seems like it's just rehash of the same stuff. I just don't think it's growing necessarily.
So I found the deal here. It says the El Rey Network, Spanish for the King, is a media network founded by Robert Rodriguez. We knew about all that. That was in 2013 when it started. Until the 31st of December 2020, it was a cable and satellite network operated and distributed. I don't care about that. It was all dedicated to Grindhouse content. So it looks like now it is still.
It still exists. But it's more like they just keep running it. It's like, oh, we've got this amount of content. We made this many agreements and we have this content. We'll put it on your bundled TV streaming service, Roku, Samsung, whatever you got. And you can. Watch it there.
So now it's you're right. It's permanently on Roku as a channel. There is how they do it.
Yeah.
So.
And I enjoy it. If you've never went through, they got the luchador type of wrestling and things that are fun. That was their own original programming for a while.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. But I've seen a lot of really cool movies. Now I'm a huge Robert Rodriguez fan. So hearing me say that I don't think Desperado has the shine for me that it used to.
Mm.
It's not a dig. It's
a slight against him. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just 28 years has gone by and we've seen so many things that are like really good the last 20 years, especially the last decade.
Yeah.
There's just been it's so much easier now for people who have a really good idea to make a good movie.
Yeah. Like, just basically Spanish, you know, John Wick in some ways. And
yeah.
John Wick.
One of my notes was one wick.
One wick. Oh my gosh, hilarious. Dude. Freaking holy crap. That's amazing. Love it. I love that.
Now, I'll tell you, if Desperado is on TV, I'm leaving it on. The moment to moment of Desperado is amazing. I just don't know if I want to sit and stare at it like I did.
And it's a beautiful film, too. It's
beautiful people.
With beautiful people, but it's like the fight scenes are almost shot like a ballet at times. Like the stuff that happens in the bar, the second big bar fight, I think is just so well done, well choreographed.
And like I said, like I'm 12, 15 viewings into this thing over time since it came out, saw it in theaters and then a bunch of times later. And this is the first time where, speaking of that bar scene and others, where I didn't appreciate Antonio Banderas for his physicality then.
Physicality.
Yeah.
He's really good. I mean, some of it's kind of dumb. Like he's literally flinging bullets at people in that bar.
Yeah. It doesn't always happen, but yeah, he slings the gun.
Yeah. He's throwing
the bullets out of the gun.
Yeah. Like he's almost chucking them out of there, which I remember at the time. And I remember thinking, oh, that's unique. But when he lands on the car, in one of the street fights, he lands in a position that is all Skowampus, his legs like way over here. But I look at it now and I just go, that's like, it's almost like ballet, this dude. Yeah. Like he's crazy good in this. And I don't know. I undersold that back in the day and was more into the flashy slow motion and the, you know, the whatever. But I think I appreciate this movie more now as an Antonio Banderas movie than I did ever in those other viewings.
Yeah. Well, and this is maybe just to how they were directed, but I feel like Antonio Banderas's energy makes Joaquin Del Almeida a little bit like flat and sedate.
Yeah, and which is a weird thing to say about him, right? Because he's usually
because he's so charismatic.
Yeah,
like this guy is just like if you don't have Antonio Banderas in this movie, you have the most charismatic thing for Joaquin De Almeida, but he's not called upon to jump around. Right. Whereas apparently Antonio Banderas will just throw himself around, like like even if it doesn't make sense, he like when he sits down in a chair, he throws himself down.
It's a whole production. Yeah,
yeah, I love that guy. That was almost Raul Julia, by the way. We were talking about Street Fighter before this, and this was a time where he was very ill, so he had to bow out. But that was supposed to be Raul Julia in the role of Bucho.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That could have been great because his final role was Street Fighter. The year before.
Yeah.
How better would it have been had Raul Julia ended on like a, you know, an evil drug cartel lord?
Yeah.
Then that would have been great. He would have eaten that scenery up. But I like that other guy a lot. So I'm not complaining. But,
man.
Yeah.
I was so dumbfounded by the whole time I was having trouble focusing because I'm like, God, Antonio Banderas is so young here. Selma Hayek. Yeah. Oh my God, she's so freaking young. And even Danny Trejo, I'm like, I don't ever remember him having that full of hair. It was just poof from the top of his head. I was like, holy Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There, Steve Buscemi looked like a little fresh spring child in this thing.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
The only, in but fact, even Cheech Marin looked young and he was already old in this. Yeah. Like,
I guess, you know,
what the hell?
Time happens to all of us. And Selma Hayek, man, she was still at a place where she looked, instead of being, she gets kind of more buff, I guess, later on. She didn't like she worked out. She like she just, you know, she just showed up and was just gorgeous,
just beautiful from day one. Yeah, and this is the movie where everybody went. I don't think it's unfair to say it's kind of her discovery movie, right? This is like the big one.
Yeah, that was
because prior to this, it was a lot of smaller Mexican productions. This was definitely a big breakthrough role for her.
Yeah, and I think deservedly so. She's very good in it.
Yeah,
she's also strong in it. I like that she's not just a maiden in distress, you know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. That's I love that she's a sexy librarian. She just didn't have any glasses. That's the only thing I was disappointed in. I was like, where's the glasses? Mm-hmm. We got to have the pinned up hair and then you got to let it down. No. All right. We're going to miss that.
That would have been too much for me. Would have been able to concentrate on the rest of the film.
we did get the trope of where the money was hidden. So that was fun.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah, that's always good. A fun trope. I like that
one. It's in the books.
There's speaking of the money that was spent. So the scenes with Buscemi and Marin had to be shot quickly. So they were early and quick. They had to do them all in like 6 days because they only could afford Buscemi for 7 full days and Cheech for 6 total.
It's great.
It's expensive Buscemi or Buscemi. Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's just Buscemi.
Is it?
Buscemi, it's probably.
Yeah. I always said Buscemi.
I always said Buscemi back in the day, so I'll probably
did too. Looking up because I was going to do a whole verse about Steve Buscemi, and then I looked at his Wikipedia page, and one of the first, like, it's in his intro thing. It says, pronounced Buscemi.
Oh, they didn't consult with me in my memory, and now
right, I know none of ours, because I think the author, the I'm sorry, the artist that you know, that we all know from Spider-Man in the day was John Buscemi.
Oh. Right.
Spider-Man artist was Buscemi, spelled the same way.
Right, and it was definitely pronounced Buscemi, right?
Yeah.
That guy.
Now I'm questioning that, too.
Yeah, now maybe we're getting that wrong this whole time.
Or Buscema. I'm sorry, not Buscemi, but Buscema.
Buscema. But it was still a Bushi, like she, not C.
I'm looking that up now, too.
This is making my head hurt. While y'all are doing that, I'm going to talk about Mike Mora.
Buscema. Oh, dang it. It's Buscema as well.
The whole time it was Buscema. Yeah. Gosh, dang it, dude.
John Buscema.
All right. That's fine. Well, go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. John Cena. God, I've been pronouncing his name wrong this whole time, too.
I thought it was Cena this whole time.
Yeah, I know. Wow. Weird. Crazy.
John Cena. Great. I love it.
Yeah, and Sheena is actually the warrior princess Cena. Exactly. So, geez, what are you going to do? Anyway, Dunaway.
What I couldn't stop staring at was Mike Moroff. He was like the one who just every eye backed up and he shot him. He was in the group of guys.
Oh, the American about? Dude.
He looks more American than the rest, right?
The Mike cowboy. Lindell looking, MyPillow guy a little bit. Yeah. Dr. Phil.
His name is Shrug, and that's all he does the whole time. He just keeps going, I don't know. And every time he was on screen, he was just, I'm like, is he in a different movie? I can't stop looking at this guy.
No, we love this dude. RoboCop, Desperado, La Bamba, From Dusk Till Dawn. He's in all kinds of cool shit. He stopped making movies in 08, I don't know what happened there, but he was in so many cool.
He'd already peaked.
Man Apart. Remember Man Apart? That was cool.
Yes.
Yeah, he's cool.
I want to sack that. I love that movie.
A Candyman movie, Candyman Day of the Dead. Anyway, we can sack it, Randy. We have the power. We can sack
it. Yeah,
we have the
technology. Well, as long as the streaming gets along
with it. Exactly. That's the thing. Like so many movies like this, like Desperado, they just linger in limbo. I'm really happy this is on Netflix for us because like I'm sure it's been on our list for 10 years.
This movie cost approximately $7 million to make, which is actually pretty low still.
Way
low. Even then. And 1,000 times the amount of money Rodriguez spent to make El Mariachi in 92. So I didn't do the math, but that's a considerable jump in what you paid. And one of the mariachi brothers in this thing with the over-the-shoulder thing and all that, the last one to die was the actor who played the character in the first movie. That's that guy.
Okay, I was wondering because they don't ever speak; they just fire their funny weapons. But
I hated it. I hated it this time around. I think I loved it back in the day.
The guitar case with the rocket launcher in there.
Why did they have to have guitar cases? Why couldn't they have done anything different? And then loading them like with an arm jerk, jerk.
Yes,
because all I could think of at that point in time, I was like, "Where are these guys from? Are they single? They don't seem single." They seem like they're probably husbands somewhere working on this workshop and this shit out in their garage, just waiting for the day they can go out, you know, and use this shit.
All right. So this is the James Bond Q trope, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And there's an interesting thing where if you talk to different people who are watching movies, some of them love it and want it everywhere. And then some of them are like, no, it has to be in a specific thing like a James Bond movie. You can't just come along with, with crazy weapons. And this movie didn't earn that.
That's also a thing of the past a little bit, right? The new James Bond movies, they're much more subtle gadgets. They don't suddenly whip out a guitar and have it shoot a missile at it.
Pay attention, James.
Yeah. So I think Randy's
Dunaway,
right.
It sounds like Dunaway doesn't think the movie really earned the humor involved in a guitar case rocket launcher.
They did not.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then it fell flat because, you know, we had this bond that was happening between Banderas and the kid with the guitar, as I call him.
Kid Tar.
And so they were having this bond moment, and then like he gets hit randomly off screen, and then we wrap the whole thing up with Banderas kind of sitting by his bedside, and I'm like, it fell flat.
It was just a little quick. I remember it being a little bit more meaningful back in the day, but I think that sort of thing's been done better since. And it felt a little plastic. I will agree with you on the weapons thing. I don't know why those guys didn't just show up Bandera style and open their cases and pull out their weaponry. Just
anything. I would have loved to have seen, you know, they just got a briefcase full of weapons. Not, I turned mine into a Tommy gun.
Yeah.
Right, I turned mine into a rocket launcher.
No, and even you know, if you need to have it gadgety, have it so that when the thing springs open, the weapon shoots up and they can just grab it in midair.
Yeah, that'd be fine. You know. Yes, that works. They earned that. That's a thing they earned. Yeah.
That's a thing they earned.
Yeah.
This was the thing I talked about, Scott, earlier this week. I had said that I felt like that part didn't hold up, not because the world changed, but because I changed, because I got older, and I think I want something different, because 20-year-old me or any 20-year-old today might think that's cool as shit. You know what I mean?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
And
I can totally see that. It definitely feels like it has not aged in some ways. Well, there are a couple of scenes and a couple of things that do happen where it, I think, ages really well. And Tarantino has this ability to come into a movie when, even when he's just the actor and has nothing to do with the writing, he has the ability to come in and make it feel like a Tarantino movie, not because there, but because of what he's saying. He's doing this thing where he's telling this joke that seems like you would never tell this joke. Why are you telling this joke? Like, it's such a Tarantino moment when he does that joke that it makes me wonder if he just kind of improvised it, came in with the joke and said, hey, what if I told this joke?
Yeah, I think I can actually see him saying, I'm going to tell a joke. I'm not going to tell you what the joke is. You just got to kind of play along with it.
Play along, Robert. You know. Yeah. Hey, Robert, look at my feet. Look at my feet. I'm going to do this joke. Yeah, like totally.
We all see, right, that Robert Rodriguez is trying to make a Quentin Tarantino movie, that's a
sure.
That's an overt action going on.
Well,
here, right?
I don't know about that for sure, because I don't feel like the movie El Mariachi as well. They're movies based. He's making 70s exploitation.
He's
action
making
films.
He's making grindhouse movies.
Yeah, and he was doing that before he even met Tarantino. And Tarantino's
you're approaching my point.
Yeah, but Tarantino's
they're both influenced by the same
thing. They're parallel.
Yeah, that's my point. And Tarantino's what, a year off of Pulp Fiction? It was just less than a year ago when he shows up in this. Reservoir Dogs, same year as El Mariachi, 92. So he's just getting going. So I don't think this is Rodriguez going, I'm making a movie like you'd make. I think this is just those two were meant to find each other. They live in the same milieu, I think.
I'm just talking about specifically Tarantino's appearance in this movie.
Yeah.
Is the kind of dialogue that Rodriguez saw in Pulp Fiction. You know, at the very least, it's an attempt at. I don't think Rodriguez is as good at building that kind of dialogue into a movie as Tarantino is.
No, Tarantino's really good at, I mean, that's his whole thing.
I think Robert Rodriguez is more fun, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, I don't know.
That's an interesting statement.
Ooh, I think I kind of agree.
I always feel sick.
Let's put it this way. I always feel sick after watching Tarantino film.
For sure.
Oh God, I feel sick. I don't know if I even humanity anymore. Yeah. But Robert Rodriguez makes me like people and it's fun and I love it.
No, I think that's fair. Yeah. I think that's true.
I guess my brain went to my favorites, and my favorite Tarantino movie for being pure distilled Tarantino is Death Proof. Mm. Yeah. And that to me could have been a Robert Rodriguez movie. I realized that he and Rodriguez made movies side by side, but like Death Proof, just it's fun. And it's the most fun that you're going to have with Tarantino. Whereas like if my brain had gone to, I don't know, Kill Bill, right? It's not intended to be that fun. It's supposed to be really, really
shocking.
Gory.
And yeah, exactly. It's supposed to be. It is what it is.
Yeah.
They both do really well at both their things.
I just remember feeling a little disappointed that once Rodriguez got his studio and he was got real money and backing and was making movies with big stars and everything, I just felt like, and you can see it in his IMDb scores, it starts to dip and goes down and down and down. And by the time you get to his most recent stuff, I mean, it's like fours and three and a halves. And
well, he just wants to make pizza at home.
Yeah.
I'm glad that Ibbot got that.
That awesome cauliflower crust pizza with the
all
John
Robert
Favreau.
Rodriguez wants to do.
Yeah, I remember.
I respect that. I respect the hell out of him that he made some fun movies that he wanted to make, and that it feels like to me he doesn't feel like he's rung out in Hollywood. He feels like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to make the movies I want.
Yeah, and he sort of just stayed in Austin. He didn't really went anywhere.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He's like, I'm not living in Hollywood. I'm going to do what I want from here and make my own thing. And there's a spirit to that that I really admire.
I know. And then you go too far and you get Uwe Boll, right?
That's true.
I make my own movies the way I want to. Screw you, Hollywood.
Oh man, it's been too long since we've seen one of his pieces of shit. Mm-hmm. We should do that.
Or not long enough for some.
Not long enough. Yeah.
Depends on how you define it, I guess. But there's some interesting other trivia here. For example, during the production of the film, Robert Rodriguez and actor Danny Trejo discovered they are second cousins. While on set. Now, I don't have anything to back this up. It's just in the trivia, but I liked it.
I like that idea because Danny Trejo, he seems like, if he got that bit of information, he would just be so happy about it.
I'd be so excited, right?
Right. Yeah.
It'd be a great interaction.
He'd show up on set and say, hey, I think we're related, man. And he'd be, oh, look at that. Now give me my vest of knives.
He's the dude that's been in the most Robert Rodriguez films. And I'm curious if this was the first one or if they like worked together for two movies or three movies before they figured that out.
Well, they've only got, this is their first together. I don't know how they met or what their deal is, but El Mariachi didn't have him in it. So this is it. This is the second film ever. So,
okay.
So they only knew each other.
It's a good pick.
Moving forward.
It is a good pick, yeah.
But maybe that was why he said, wait, we're cousins, second cousins. You'll be in everything I make.
Yeah, maybe.
From now on.
Right. Got to take care of family.
Yeah.
But I think you alluded to this earlier. It was surprising how quickly he was offed, because he easily could have been a make it to the end, last mini boss before the big boss kind of fight.
And I thought he was
weird because he had an opportunity to kill Banderas, because Banderas got he got hit. He was down.
Yeah.
All he had to do is like, excuse me,
round that
the way,
corner, so and exactly. Yeah.
I thought he was longer. I've seen, like I say, movies. This is my 15th viewing or something. I could have sworn to you that he was a bigger factor all the way up till the end. And then this viewing, I was like, what happened? Did I see a different cut where Danny Trejo lived longer? What the hell is this?
Yeah,
I was kind of annoyed.
I kind of wish they would have went along, because I'm not sure if this was written in the script, the character writing, or I'm assuming Rodriguez probably pushed most of it. But I would have liked to have seen him do something heroic, Danny Trejo. He's kind of like just doing his job,
hold on. He has three of the best kills in the movie, where he does dancing around that car.
Yeah.
It's like a limo.
Yeah. Oh,
and
my.
He's like hitting people with knives.
Yeah, firing knives into that.
I want him to like save the guitar kid or something, because even Bucho, the Bucho character, even though he's pure evil, it seems, he also seems like he's taking care of his people. You know, he's like,
when he opens fire on them.
Yeah, except when he shoots them for no apparent
reason. Exactly.
I don't know that guy.
Bam. he's thinking of the greater good for his people. It's like, yeah, you know, I got to be the bad boss, I guess. I got to be the bad boss for a minute.
I guess so.
To make a point.
I guess so. I don't know if I think he was just like pure.
He's just
he
a
was
psychopath.
Just he's
just a psychopath.
Yeah, he just wanted to kill people.
I was seeing things there.
But when he was shooting into the crowd of his people, his men.
Yeah.
And just firing randomly at them, and they're all falling over hay bales or whatever they were doing.
Yeah.
That's the moment I went, all right, well, these kinds of bad guys, they crack me up. They're Skeletor-level bad guys.
Laugh.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Because at the end of the day, if you're willing just to shoot all your resources like that, well, then what is the point of this? What are you doing? You're not going to, this won't last, first of all, because you're going to have rebellion eventually. Somebody's going to take you out because you're just too, you know, on the edge. You're going to shoot people for no reason. So why wouldn't somebody in your organization either get you assassinated or otherwise, you know, mass exodus or something? And I kind of hate that normally. But in a movie like this where it is popcorn fare, it is supposed to be violent for no reason. It's a splatterhouse Saturday afternoon matinee kind of vibe. I'm 100% fine with it. Make all these people cartoons. I don't care. It's fine with me. Especially Trejo. Bring him out. Have him throw knives out of his vest through the sunroof of your limo. Amazing.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, no. He brought knives to a gunfight. Then I'm like, oh. He brought a lot of knives.
All the knives.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had to come up with an explanation as to why he didn't just get shot in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that everybody is boggling at the knife girdle.
It's good. The knife girdle.
Yeah. I mean, it's really something to have this brief moment on screen and then have this archetype just stay in your head. Like, to me, it's the star of the movie in a weird way. But it's barely in there, and I'm kind of annoyed still that it was barely in there. Could have used more. More Trejo is the answer. In more life, in death, all the time.
And at taco and donut shops in L.A.
That's more right. Trejo. This movie almost featured John Leguizamo as El Mariachi, but Antonio Banderas decided to. He turned down the role. They gave it to Leguizamo, and then Banderas changed his mind. That's who they wanted in the first place.
Is that fact?
That you ask IMDb if it's fact. They always tell us these things. You know, we could play a little scrutiny. We got a little scrutiny here.
Yeah.
Why not?
Scrutiny.
I mean, who knows? But I think it'd have been okay. Leguizamo's grown on me.
Does he have the action chops to carry a movie like this? He's good at the action sidekick, but would he be good as the action lead?
It's a very, very good question. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you know, I think that there's so many moments where I was like, wow, only Antonio Banderas could have walked across that bar top and avoided that disco ball to whack somebody in the back of the head. I could only see him doing that. I don't know. Right. It's just such a physicality.
It's a great
thing.
Intro. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Leguizamo, I like he's come out.
I love him.
Come out. That's the wrong term. He's ended up being a really great villain type lately.
Yeah.
In a lot of stuff, that Santa Claus thing from a couple years ago, I liked his John Wick character. He wasn't a bad guy, but he was
I feel like he's a great host of The Daily Show.
Yeah. No, he's great.
Oh, I never saw any of his. I need to see some of his deal.
I feel like he doesn't age. Feels like he's
got the right energy and tone for The Daily Show for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right.
I like him a lot. So I wouldn't, today, I'd be stoked about this casting. Back then, I would have gone, really? The guy from. what do we know him from then? I guess.
The Tu Wong Fu.
What else? The Spawn movie, I guess. He was the
Spawn, right? Clown, yeah.
Clown character. I guess he just probably wouldn't have been on our radar for that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, little roles, right? And so like he was in Super Mario Bros. He was in Carlito's Way.
He got out of Carlito's Way.
Before, yeah.
Yeah. Before this. Get out of Carlito's Way. Rodriguez says in DVD commentary on this thing, which I've heard but don't remember any of this, back in the day I used to listen to those all the time, but anyway, that the day they shot Salma Hayek's love scene with Antonio Banderas, the entire crew showed up to see it.
You damn sure. Skippy.
Yeah.
But
what's happening now? What's happening?
But the way this is worded is weird. It says the entire crew showed up to see it, period. He continued saying that, apart from the actors, only he and the script supervisor were in the room. Well, did they all see it or not?
Everybody may have showed up, but they said, no.
They cleared the set.
Wait outside, maybe.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. I could see that.
We'll tell you all about it when we're done. Yeah.
It also claims they were at that for 8 hours. 8 hours to film that scene.
I tried not to stare directly at that because I did not want to discover that there was any body doubles. I was like, that would ruin my life. Well. So I just didn't look.
Well, good news.
Well,
nope.
Good there news. Were.
Oh, there were?
Dang it.
Absolutely.
Oh, I didn't know that. Doubles. Okay.
Has that been confirmed? Because I did, when I was again writing the lyrics, I thought I better check this and make sure. And there's a point at which, like an interview where Salma says, I was very uncomfortable with the love scene in Desperado, but she doesn't come out and say that I had somebody else come in and do it. But there's a lot of speculation because you never see face and
right.
Nudity.
That's actually a good thing to separate that face from the body and person. I think that's a good thing. I'm fine with body doubles. It doesn't bother me.
Oh, yes,
but my younger self who saw that scene, just like in Flashdance, every time I watch Flashdance, that other body there, no.
Oh, was that not really her? Jessica Biel or whatever her name is? Not Jessica Biel.
Or not Jessica Biel. Jessica... Yeah, Jessica Biel's. Yes.
Oh, Biel's. Wait, who's Biel. The one that? Who's one what? That's married to the NSYNC dude? I have this all mixed.
Jennifer. It's Jennifer Biel. It's Jennifer.
Jennifer Biel's. That's right. Jessica. Hey, no wonder it didn't sound right.
Yeah, Jessica Biel with no S is married to Justin Timberlake, and then the other. Okay.
Right. But I was devastated because Flashdance that Flashdance scene from my young childhood, and then finding out later on. That was a body that devastated me.
Yeah. I found that out just now.
Yeah. Just now. Now you're devastated. You're welcome.
Yeah, Brian, you're clearly welcome. Devastated by this news. I don't know how he's going to make it.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it may not have been her body, but somebody's body.
Yeah, somebody's.
It was somebody's body I was enjoying, right?
Somebody's very naked body.
That's right.
And Banderas, of course, playing himself in that scenario.
I can't stop thinking about running spurs over somebody.
That was great. Yeah. I did catch that out of the corner of my eye.
Because you have to think about the setup for this, right? they're like, you know, they're in the middle of messing around, like, hold on, let me go get to my boot really quick. And he hops off the bed naked, walks over, gets his boot. Which one's got crap on the bottom of it? This one doesn't? Okay. Then walks back over to the bed and then runs the spur. Like, it, there's no spontaneous spur. Well, no spur of the moment, but there's no spontaneous, like, oh, you know, it'd be really sexy right now if I run this spur across your back.
Ow, hurts.
There's like 2 minutes of stuff that has to lead up to that.
Yeah. That seemed uncomfortable. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like it, I think, is what I'm saying. No. I don't want to knock things I haven't tried, right? You know, if you haven't tried having a spur run across your back. In the
I don't know. I can really knock some things I haven't tried. I can knock them out right now. Nope. No thanks.
Okay.
But it's not like they were just jamming it as hard as they could into their skin. It was just right across it. It's like, yeah, you could do that. You could do that same thing with your fingers, basically.
It makes me have more respect for animal crackers in a belly button. That's what I'll say.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. See, in that scene, right? Like Ben Affleck or his character says, oh, hold on, let me get this box of animal crackers open. Oh, let's get this open. Okay.
What if someone were broken? Poke. No.
Right. Oh, this one doesn't have a head. Can't use this one.
Yeah, I don't like any of that.
Which shitty Australian accent should I use to describe this scene?
The only answer is that one. That's the only one you should use.
That's the only one.
I wrote down here, I wrote my favorite Trejo role. I think it still might be. I like him in lots of things, but I liked him in The Replacement Killers, which I think we saw, or if we didn't, we should. Did we?
Not as the head on a turtle in Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay. If we're going TV... Probably. Yeah,
you know that wasn't his actual head, right?
No, I know.
It was but a head double?
I do love that, though.
A turtle double, I think it was. Yeah.
Turtle double.
Yeah, it was just real double. Head, just another. It's just a fake turtle.
It wasn't the real turtle.
But I think it still is, and it's partly because it's so brief, and it just leaves me to world build about that guy.
Yeah,
and then I have to just make up all the backstory because they really don't do anything with him. They just come flip, kill Buscemi, kill a couple of guys in a car, finally get shot very conveniently, by the way, in your vest sides of your chest because that's where the squibs are. So they're shooting him,
right.
And he's got this chest, full chest.
It's all going to be vest squibs.
Yeah, it was all just vest shots, which really jumped out at me this time, but whatever.
Oh, and there was a lot of characters like that, though. It's like interesting characters with no backstory you have to write yourself, like Christo. It's like, if he can't be Christo, we don't want him. And it's like, oh, okay, what's Christo's deal? Is he the worst or is he the best? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, do you want him to beat your best to be able to join the crew? That seems like you're never going to grow your crew that way.
And that's kind of your other wasted potential, squandered potential was, all right, you establish this kid who beats Christo with his bad leg and knocks the guy out and then comes back with a splint on his leg and is willing to fight. And then he gets shot and falls off a roof.
He gets volunteered for everything. He's like, you see this progression. It's like, oh, he's progressing nicely. Oh, he's going to be the star of the show. Nope. He just.
Yeah.
No,
right. Again, you think he's going to be like one of your last guys, but no, he's just like, oh, he's on the roof. Bam. Now he's on the ground.
Yep. End of that guy.
It is a movie that's constantly asking from one scene to the next, what would be the most badass and cool thing here? And it doesn't really care about continuity. Like there are definitely pieces of continuity, right? Like you have to have it make sense. Why does El Mariachi not shoot the guy when he finally sees his enemy? Oh, it's his brother. There are continuity steps, obviously, but like that scene where there's a couple of guys cage fighting out in the dirt, like it's just cool. It's cool for cool's sake.
It is cool. And it actually invests us into the character, but not necessarily emotionally, just that we recognize. So when he gets shot later on, he's not just shooting random guys, right? So it has a small impact.
The whole point of that scene is to invest us into the Bucho character. Everything else is just supposed to be cool in that scene.
Right.
It's the Bucho character that we're finding out, oh, he's bloodthirsty, he's a psychopath. He'll just throw away his
why not both?
Right. Et cetera.
Let's develop two characters.
Yeah, why not?
Sure, but you're asking a lot of this movie. This movie is a series of gunfights, you know?
Yeah, and great ones. They're fun. They're really well choreographed, and I felt super invested in just like the action of it. I like that stuff.
I was a little sad that there wasn't any real scorpions in this. I was a little. I mean, we had a scorpion sign. We had a scorpion on the back
Didn't you get enough scorpions in that Charlie Sheen thing when they're dropping from the fan into that woman's bed?
Well, that's not enough scorpions for you. I'm like, what's the theme here? I don't know.
I feel like Ibbit. I'm with Ibbit.
Plenty of scorpions for that. By the way, we really quickly talking about your favorite Danny Trejo film, and I was like, oh, you know, I'll just glance at his filmography and see if I can figure it out. No chance. Like, you cannot. You need to devote a weekend to looking at the list of Danny Trejo's filmography. In 2013 alone, he was in 20 movies.
Oh, what?
20 movies.
Oh my god!
2013
gosh.
Alone.
Has an ex-con ever had a better Hollywood career than this?
No, talk. Yeah, exactly. Get out and make good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because good lord. All right.
We've now seen Danny Trejo in 12 movies on FilmSack. 12.
Wow.
He'll apparently just do whatever he gets paid.
Yeah. Look at his 2023 list. His 2020. You said 2013. Look at 2023.
Yeah. Oh, see on. There's only 6 things on Wikipedia. There are a ton
tons IMDb. Of them. I can't even mention them all. In fact, if I hit see all, there are additional ones I didn't see.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. By the way, Trejo on Threads is great. He's one of the few people.
He's pretty great. On
really? I got to check that out.
He's good. He's very good. I want to eat a Trejo taco. I've never been there. It's a good Randy. Yeah. You've probably eaten there. You probably had that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a taco. There's just not a lot.
I'm
going to go through the rest of this episode thinking that in his spare time Trejo's going to listen to this episode. I'll bet it was the best damn taco you ever had.
Like when you say just a taco, I think of Taco Bell. Now,
oh no,
but there's a lot of shades beyond that.
No, I don't even. I
better
haven't,
worse
I
than Torchy's. Torchy's is a great. I think Torchy's is the bar for me.
Torchy's tacos. Never had one either.
A good bar.
Yeah. Never had one of those.
Okay. So like, I'm just saying there's like generally two tiers in Southern California. There's like this massive tier of tacos that no one in their right mind considers good.
Yeah.
And then there's this upper tier where you have people who are actually trying and it's fine.
Where people are actually trying. I love that. It's a little bit of this small shade in their direction. A little shade.
Well, I can understand what Randy's saying. I've gotten Taco Bell tacos. I can see they're not trying. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not. But yeah, but the chain
meat,
like
the meat's
that.
Not even in the shell. It's over here on the side.
Sure.
Is that even a taco? Yeah.
I mean, there's a place in downtown Salt Lake called Taco Taco run by a big Mexican immigrant family that is the best taco I've ever had. But I don't know if. I don't know what to compare it to. I'm not really, you know, not a connoisseur. I'm not around it. But I know that one's good, and I could eat that right now. I would eat that now. Do we like the Los Lobos music in the film? I liked it. Thought
I like
fit.
It.
Love
it.
Yeah, if anything, if I only had one complaint, it's this. I'll play it in the intro again. You can kind of hear it.
Cutthroat scumbags were coming out of the woodwork and dying much-deserved.
So the mix is really low on the music through the whole movie, and including action scenes where the music is supposed to be a little bit more prominent, and he's like reloading under the bar and there's chaos going on and the music's just kind of going do almost like it's background, and that kind of annoyed me a little bit. I don't know if it's the transfer on this particular Netflix version of the thing or if it's always been that way or if that's on purpose. I don't know, but I kind of felt like it was understated.
And I don't even, I think that's just your regular Dick Dale surf music. I don't think that's Los Lobos in the bar music.
Cutthroat
scumbags were coming out of the woodwork and dying much deserved deaths. I don't get it.
Los Lobos at all.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I think
who that
is just whatever they carry around, because I've heard that a million times.
Because you hear that in the
Rodriguez movies.
Yeah, the Tarantino joke scene. Tarantino. I think has the same music actually, and probably one of Tarantino's diner scenes has that same song.
Yeah,
but
I bet it's everywhere.
Yeah, which makes me wonder, all right, where was the Los Lobos music most prominent?
I guess it was when he was on the road.
Yeah.
He was hitchhiking, I think, maybe had a sequence of music, stuff like that. So, yeah, it's fine. I just could have used more of it. I thought when they did use it, it was great. It was a perfect fit. And I don't know. Overall, the music just kind of sounded quiet.
Yeah.
And I wanted
There's a bunch of music in this movie that's not Los Lobos. And it's all used very strategically, right? Like There's a Carlos Santana song. There's a couple of Latin Playboy songs. There's a Dire Straits song, I think I heard in there.
Mm. Oh, really?
Mm, okay. I missed that.
And it's like, it's just like, it's used, you know, very sparingly. Like it's supposed to be down in the mix because it's, you're, you know, you walk into a cantina, there's a jukebox playing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. And that's fine. If that's the effect they were aiming for, like the jukebox is playing it and that's why I'm hearing it quiet, that's fine. I just, yeah. You know.
But I just can't see somebody in that low life bar. like, yeah, give me a quarter. I want to put Sultans of Swing on the jukebox real quick.
Dude, Mark Knopfler, like his guitar sound is perfect for this kind of thing.
Yeah. I always wish.
It is. Yeah.
I wish Knopfler would have done more. Not that I don't like his voice, but I wish there was, is there, and maybe Ibbett knows of this. Maybe there is more of this and I just don't know it, but I would love like more instrumental.
He did. Yeah. He did a lot of soundtrack stuff.
Oh, he did. See, I love that. I should seek that out.
Besides Princess Bride.
I can probably name a Mark Knopfler soundtrack if I really think about it.
I mean, Princess Bride is probably the biggest one, right?
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I've seen that movie a million times. I had no idea he was involved in that.
Yeah.
I like the soundtrack in it, though. It's very good.
He's done 8, 9, Wag the Dog, Metroland, Last Exit to Brooklyn, Comfort and Joy, Cal, Local Hero.
Huh.
Altamira being the most recent one, but also another 9 solo albums. So, yeah, you can find a lot of... he's done more solo albums than they had with Dire Straits. I didn't realize Dire Straits only released 7 albums. Wow.
Wow, that's shorter than I thought.
Six?
Yeah. When was their last?
91.
Okay, so not that far off from the one
on
everyone
every
knows.
Street, which yeah. Hit from that one was, I think, Heavy, Heavy Fuel was the song from that one. But Brothers in Arms was the second to last.
Right.
So they really, like...
That's where they peaked.
Blew their wad on that one and started petering out. Yeah.
Yep.
And so the two Los Lobos songs here are Canción de Mariachi, which is like a radio hit after this movie, you know, like you hear it on the radio.
Mm.
And then I think at the very end of like over the credits, they have a Los Lobos song called Let Love Rain. And I remembered this movie being jam packed with Los Lobos. And so like, it must just be that this first big song where he, by the way, he smacks somebody in the face with the head of his guitar. I love that.
Yeah.
that whole thing with Antonio Banderas walking on the bar with his guitar and playing and singing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I love that.
It must be that song just like really sticks out as
I think so too. Cause in my head it's like wall to wall Los Lobos and it's clearly not. Mm-hmm. But they're made for that stuff, man. That's what they do. I also thought I heard a little bit of that. What's the Cuban band that everyone loves? They kind of peaked in the 90s and they're all really old, but they had this amazing album. What was the name of that? Anyway, I thought I heard them in this. I thought I heard a track, something nightclub or something.
Buena Vista Social Club.
Social Club.
Buena Vista Social Club. Yeah.
I love their sound so much. Oh my gosh. And I'm not even like, I don't know, it's weird, even as a young person, where I wouldn't have cared for this.
Those guys, too.
I love their stuff. So good. I don't know if they were in this or not, but I had a...
They were not. Okay. And you know, like, at the very least, Rodriguez is trying to make this movie sound Mexican. Mm-hmm. And it does, I think. Like, it's a stretch, right? When you see when you see Antonio Banderas playing and singing, you know, you have to, like, kind of wince a little bit, like close your eyes and let it happen.
Trivia,
you
know, like, trivia claims he's playing the guitar and all that, says he's doing it. I don't know if that's true, but scrutiny.
Okay.
That's what it says. It says that all those guitar bits were his fingers strumming the things.
fingers.
You can see his fingers working. And then it's really weird when they're like, hey, remember how they destroyed your hand and you can't play the guitar now? And like, hold on. What?
Well, he was that was a dream sequence though that whole time. But according to the trivia, he is actually singing and playing the guitar. He's
okay.
Supposedly, right. I'm not saying this has been verified, but he may have more talent than we give him credit for. I don't know.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he uses it to pick up ladies. I believe it.
Yeah.
Sure.
They believe it. I believe it. How about that? There's there is a vibe around this that just feels like mythological Mexico, right?
Yeah.
Which I think Rodriguez is really good about doing in Dust Till Dawn and other things, but there's a feeling of like this is hyper-realized culturally, you know, culture. This isn't...
Right.
I don't just mean like the out-of-this-world action and stuff. I just mean kind of the mythic nature of that that place.
Yeah. The whole town and stuff is a character.
Yeah.
And I liked it.
I liked that a lot, too.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, and that's where I was really hoping the Mexico follow-up one that was going to do that, and it just... maybe I need to revisit it, but I remember just hating it. Mm-hmm. And I think they brought Trejo back for something. Different character,
how?
I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, character. I think it was a different character.
His brother. I would love that.
Right.
He's Blade's brother.
See, I love the idea of that.
Forks. Oh, you swear
but
you
I hate
that.
The fact that they're brothers in this movie that Banderas, you like that, Randy? You like the fact that they ended up being brothers?
Had nothing wrong with the brothers.
No, I like that conceptually, and I thought they held it together. It's like
right.
This movie doesn't deserve to have people talking in the final scene, you know. And somehow there they are, and these two actors are pretty good at this. And then when it ends with Banderas, he's got guns up his sleeves, and and they come out, and you don't actually see how badass he is. You just hear the gunshots, and you realize, wow, he just killed everybody, and and saved Salma Hayek, and so on. Like, wow, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also like the joke at the end where he's like, "We're leaving this world behind. Never gonna have to worry about being an El Mariachi again. My guitar is getting hucked. I'm hucking it full of guns." And then
he
pull
hucks
out
off screen into the like grass area.
Yeah, that was pretty weird.
Back in the middle of the road. I'm
but
like,
then
okay.
they but then they come back and they're like, "Oh no, we might need this just in case."
Yeah, might need it. Better pick it back up.
It's a cheap joke, but it worked for me. I was fine with it.
Yeah. I spent a lot of money on this case.
This is not. It's sometimes you think the guns are the expensive part. No.
No, it's the hinge that opens the flap.
It's very expensive.
This movie, can I have a trouble alert, actually?
Sure. Hold on. Where is it?
This movie is chock full of Captain Obvious dialogue, and I'm here for it. You know, there's like dialogue like, "What's that? My guitar case. What's in it?"
Yeah.
My guitar. Like, and it's like, you know, like you always hear movie makers should show, not tell. Well, sometimes it's really funny to tell. Like to tell me exactly what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. Can be kind of, you know, when Buscemi's telling his story at the beginning, and I'm just going to say his last name like I always have.
Sure.
You know, he's like, "It was as though the lights dimmed just for him." Like, you didn't have to say that. You could have just shown me the lights dimming, and I would have gotten it. Mm-hmm. But it's really funny that the movie's telling me what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that about it. I think it's fun. There's just a... This movie doesn't take too much too seriously. And if you look at it that way, and also, you know, the early 90s was a little, we were bereft of this sort of Hong Kong action stuff. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a lot. And so when this stuff came around, I remember going, "Oh, action films are about to change forever." And they kind of did, you know, and it wasn't just him. It was things like, you know, John Woo films, and Tarantino and him have both been very vocal about how John Woo inspired a lot of their early filmmaking, and especially the action stuff and how it worked. Like, we were getting a new kind of way of looking at action that wasn't just guy in a truck with a shotgun or whatever we were used to. And we got to see something new. And I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Guy in a truck with a shotgun,
like,
you know.
Like, we hadn't already had, you know, Die Hard. And like, this movie is not cutting any new ground, Scott.
I disagree.
I think on the shoulders of what came before.
I guarantee you, if you take every action scene from Die Hard, match it up with every action scene from this. I'm not saying Die Hard's not a better movie. It is. But the kind of action, totally different kind of action. And I would say that's true of things like, you know, we watched... What was it? Hard Target. All right. In a lot of ways, doesn't hold up. John Woo's first American film with Van Damme. There are still things in there. The way that they're filmed, action scenes, the way that they're filmed, that just did not exist until that until he came over here and started doing that stuff. And then other directors got comfortable doing it. I think there's a distinct difference between action before around 1990 through 95 and action after.
No, oh, well, I agree. You're going to make a huge long range like that, sure. But like, I'm just saying
5 years. It's not that long.
The people making this movie saw Tombstone. It's not like they were just like, we're going to be totally inventive here.
Yeah, but know? Tombstone's like, not there. That's my point, though. If you go take Tombstone and again strip out all the action, compare it to something like this, it's not the same action. It's very old school. Like as Westerns go, and I love that movie, love Tombstone. It's pretty safe on the action front. There's some great intense scenes, but they're not doing anything like new or shocking or whatever. And so I don't know, in the same way that I don't want to call them pulpy movies, but you know, pre-Tarantino, post-Tarantino, things changed, you know, pre-Star Wars, post-Star Wars, science fiction changed. It to me, there was a moment there, and I'm not putting it all at the feet of Rodriguez, but there was a moment there where action films changed, and they changed because of these stylistic fresh-faced directors that were just like, what if it went like this? What if it was, you know, we try this angle? And I don't know. It just feels like it became different after these things.
Yeah, and I'm going to agree with you here because and maybe from a different angle. Art is language, and every time a great artist or someone who impacts us greatly as an artist comes along, they define our language and how we like view movies. And so I think the language changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was influenced. And yeah. So, yeah,
that's a good way of putting it. The language of it, because it is a language, right? Like mm-hmm. how you speak this stuff. And certainly in Tarantino's case, it's like literally language, like the way he yeah. writes and talks and improv.
And you have to train your audiences how to speak that language. And once they do, then it opens it up.
Yeah, things. And then there's a bunch of bad copycats too, right? Like there's a bunch of movies that are trying to be Tarantino-esque that just fail because they're bad or whatever. I don't know.
They think it's just the presence of guns and banter, pop culture references and banter that make a Tarantino movie. And it's not just that.
Yeah, they miss the point.
It's people getting shot in the face. Everybody knows that. Jeez.
Yeah, get shot in the face. Welcome to the theater.
I want to be really, really clear. I am not arguing that this movie is a copycat.
Right.
I am arguing that your statement, Scott, about it being something new and fresh would be better laid on John Woo with like The Killer and Hard Boiled, like those seem to me like a turning point or an elevation of this form.
Yeah.
Whereas this feels like Robert Rodriguez watched John Woo movies and then tried to add a little bit to it.
Oh, 100%. I think we agree.
I think you and I both agree, but I think the difference is who was it influencing? The content creators or the audiences?
Audience. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think that they, and like I said, they've said as much. Him and Tarantino have talked a ton about John Woo's influence. And it's not just them, obviously. That stuff was a big deal. And it's really a bummer, right? Because he's got a movie out now, or did, right around Christmas. First John Woo movie in like 20 years in America or something.
And we all went, John Who?
And we all kind of just went, meh. And it bums me out because I'm sure it's good. I'm sure it's fine. It may not be glory days of John Woo, but I'm sure it's fine. Mm-hmm. If anyone's seen that, you should write in and tell us if that was good.
It's like every time Toto comes out with a new album, right? You're like,
does Toto come out with a new album?
I was about to say, when did that happen?
Like, there's been like 14 albums that you've never heard or listened to, right? Because it's just, or Def Leppard comes out with a new album and you're just like, oh, you were great once. I don't need, I either need you to build a time machine for me to really love your stuff or for you to just play the hits, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Shut up and play the hits, old man. Yeah. I love Randy's take.
that's how we're going to treat someone like John Woo making a new movie.
Yeah, that's true.
You cannot take me back in time 25 years and let me see your new movie the way I would have.
I totally agree with that. There is a thing.
I don't know. That.
If Tarantino disappeared for 20 years and then suddenly resurfaced with a new movie, I mean, maybe I'm underselling him, but if he did, there's a good chance we'd go, oh, well, everyone does this now. Like,
I, I think it has to come down to if the artists themselves have matured, because some artists do mature and some artists just keep doing what they're good at.
Yeah.
And so did John Woo evolve? Because you could say the Smashing Pumpkins stuff that came out in the last couple of years, the old stuff is fantastic. And the new stuff does have reflections of the old stuff, but you also can tell that it's matured and it's changed.
Yeah, and in some cases, though, you don't like that, right? Like, I didn't like the last two Green Day albums, and I pretty much wrote them off. And then this new one is so freaking good so far. But the reason I like it is because it sounds like they just went, you know what, let's make like we made in 2000.
Back to, yeah.
And that's valid, too. It's valid to revisit those.
It's a bummer, though, right? Because part of me thinks, did they just acquiesce to us pressuring them to just do what we want?
Is this the album they wanted to make, or the album they made because we wanted them to make?
I've seen a lot of artists go through this. They age and they want to progress as artists, but then they find out there's no audience there, or at least not the size of audience that they once had during the glory days, and they have to kind of go and follow their fans. And at first it seems very disappointing, but in the end they find gratitude that their fans were there at all and that they had a place to express that creativity. I've seen a lot of artists go through this, and that's just being an artist.
Well,
this
also
is what it is.
Sure.
There's also a thing for artists where they too grow old, like all the rest of us. And we only allow a select few to make movies or music that's based on growing older. Right. So we're fine with the Expendables, right? Like for some reason we're like, that's really cool. That speaks to me. I'm older now too. But then a lot of the attempts to do that were just like, no. You have to make movies with young people that talk about young themes, about finding love and going to war and this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just the way we are. We just like, we're difficult as an audience.
Yeah. That's a fair point.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Is it as fair as me wanting to play Clips? That's the question.
I want to hear Clips, because
it's unfair that you haven't started playing them already.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It feels unfair somehow that we haven't started them. Well, I'll start them now. And I'll have to admit, this is the shortest amount of Clips we've ever had on the show. Literally, this is the record. And I think it's because... I'm not actually sure. There aren't a lot of moments of like stuff. Except I got to play this clip, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. There is dialogue heavy in spots, and then the rest of us, you know, barren.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the dialogue heavy parts are big contextual things, like a giant joke from Tarantino. It's not a one-off quip or something.
Right.
So I'll give you what I got. All right. That's what you're going to get. Here's number one about whatever piss warm chango is.
All I got is piss warm chango.
That's my brand.
Chango is a brand, is it? I don't know.
I've never heard of Chango beer.
It's a funny name for beer.
They got a logo on that tap and everything. I tried to look it up. I was like, what is that?
They had a Chango logo? Chogo. Chogo logo. Chango. Here's one about, why did the beer tap have to sound like this every time he
hit? Oh, God.
Here's the noise.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
I love it.
That's what Chango sounds like. That's how you know the Chango's fresh.
The piss warm Chango has been put in there today.
And if it don't go, it ain't Chango.
And they used it a lot. I thought, you know what? I'll capture all these, but they were all the same sound.
Same sound. Yeah. It's definitely somebody belching. Then they combine that with somebody pouring soup into a bowl or something.
Ah, gross. Now that you've said those, now that you've said that, let's hear it. Whoops. Oh, that's so much worse.
Yeah. I did like the idea of a bar that is a front for like money laundering, whatever they're doing in the back room dealing. I like that idea, the fact that they had no passion whatsoever for the actual bar itself. And it just it was representative of the service.
It's a little bit weird that Tarantino got shot in the face for doing nothing. Do you think?
Right, right.
I like it.
Is that going on right now?
Yeah.
Bam. Right.
Yeah, that didn't seem fair. And that guy really got his when he got pushed on the sidewalk and had two guns to his neck.
Oh,
Kablumo. She should have been more shocked by that, because she comes over, wraps her arms around Bandera, starts to pull him away from this ketchup nightmare he's created. It's blood all over his face and it's stuff. And she's way too calm about it. Like, she needs to be gross. She needs to be like recoiling and going, oh my gosh, what? Because what he did to that guy's head would be really memorable.
Yeah.
They don't show it, but geez.
And it would be the nightmare of living in that town.
Oh,
everything in this movie would be smelly. I can't stop thinking about that. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
even if you used paint to paint up that bathroom stall and you didn't actually use poop, the paint would be smelly.
Yeah. You know what else would stink is Banderas, because he wore that black mariachi outfit, which is not doesn't breathe. And he's out in the freeway doing thumbs out, trying to get rides. Big long walk in the hot Mexican summer. That dude reeks. Sorry.
I'm telling you. And if you've never smelt a large amount of blood, it's not a good smell. And he was bleeding a lot.
Yeah, but blood smells like copper, right? Kind of.
Yeah.
Like
that's
metal.
What they say, or iron. Yeah.
Gross. Oh, that's gross. Oh, we didn't talk about what grossed me out today.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't even pinpoint it.
In the mouth at one point during the love scene.
There were. I would put that right up there with this. But for me, it's that
gross.
It's that toilet room. I know it's probably not even real, feces smeared all over. It didn't matter.
It's probably not real.
No, I mean, even in the context of the movie.
In universe.
Yeah, it's probably just made to look that way so that people are grossed out by it. I get why it's a great ruse to hide a door.
Yeah.
But I just was like, dude.
When they pull back and you see the door open, though, I was just like, whoa, biggest bathroom stall ever invented. because think about it. If for a door to go there, right?
Yeah.
Like if it's just a regular bathroom stall, the door is as wide as a deck of cards. And it's a regular door, like that a man can walk through.
Yeah.
It's huge.
A man,
a Tarantino sized man.
Yeah. Tarantino sized man can fit right through there. It turns out. And that guy with all the hair. All right. Let's see. We got another clip here. This is, we heard it already. Well, I'll play it again.
World class turds.
It's just fun to hear.
It is.
I like that one.
It's what I smeared across the walls of that stall.
Cleaner mug.
Can I get a cleaner mug? This one's dirty.
This one's dirty.
I laughed out loud at that part. That made me laugh.
It's the cleanest one I got, he says.
Yeah.
I didn't cap that part.
That felt like improv.
Yeah. Well, let's finish out with Tarantino laughing. There you go. It's a real quality moment of Tarantino.
That's great.
Yeah, good stuff. Here's this now. It's the Film Sack checklist. Tarantino pee-pee story. Check. Come in the secret poo room. Don't touch anything coming in. Check. And finally, every gross bar should have a Cheech slinging beer. Check. Let's see. Let's move on to these Star Trek connections. I think I know one, but I need Randy to confirm. So, Randy?
No, we don't have any of the actors in Star Trek.
I thought Trejo did a thing. I actually looked because I thought so too.
Yeah. And no... there's a couple of like interesting people way down the list. Mm. So like there's a stunt guy named Henry Kingy Jr. And he did stunt double work in Deep Space Nine. When you look at this guy, you're like, oh, I can see he kind of looks like Antonio Banderas, or maybe in Deep Space Nine he looks like Dr. Bashir.
Mm.
But they also let him play have a brief speaking role in an episode of Deep Space Nine. So I thought that's kind of cool when someone isn't really an actor, and mm-hmm. they let him just be an actor for a minute.
Sure.
But it was just it was makeup designer, it was sound recorder, like that's all we got.
Okay. Well, that's at least there's something for Star Trek.
There is definitely something, and the stunt coordinator for this movie was a stunt person in Star Trek IV.
Oh.
And I think that's kind of cool too. Like you did some stunts in The Voyage Home, and then you end up getting to be the stunt producer.
There was some cool stunt stuff in this when he was jumping backwards off that building and firing as he went.
Oh yeah.
That was awesome. That looked great. He landed way too soft, but whatever.
Nah.
I can't pick it all apart.
The physics of fighting in this movie.
They're like, pretty out of this world.
Like what bugged me the most of all of it was, the knives, like, because and they actually depict it pretty fair. There's a moment when Antonio Banderas has three knives in him, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, you could see they're only like a half inch deep. Like,
yeah, they're shallow.
Because how could they go very deep? Right. Mm-hmm. Look at those things. They're tiny little knives. They're not a sword, you know, like.
Right.
Anyway,
it's just, like they're more like they're more to slow and drop your prey and then take and then finish them off some other way, you know. Mm. Just like a way to get
it more to make your prey go holy ow.
When he was yanking him out, that was gnarly. It was nasty.
Yeah, they need barbs on him.
Yeah.
Ooh. And I will just never forget the glory of the corset. The knife so corset gorgeous. Is just the it's the greatest thing
ever. It is great. Yeah,
it's always bigger in my memory though than when I see the movie. I always think he's got
that's what you want. He's supposed to be the biggest Mexican kid you've ever seen.
I don't mean him and his size. I mean like I always see strapped knives everywhere. It's not
bigger,
just
a bigger girl like he's
it's on his arms, it's wrapped around his legs, he's just covered in knives. Let's see here. That was Star Trek. How about soundtrack? Great. I give it an MG for mostly great. I liked a lot of it. I didn't like that outro song. I don't know who that was or what the deal was. I didn't cap it, but I didn't like it. I don't, whatever that was. That was a very, hey, we're just barely into the 90s, folks. And, some old 80s shit still hangs around. I don't know. It wasn't great. I didn't love it. Let's get to the social media post. This is where you guys in 280 characters or less express your opinions about this film and sum things up. Let's start with Randy.
Desperado. Soy un hombre muy honrado. That means I tell the truth. Las mujeres no me faltan was a brag we said in youth. When you go to the cantina, choose a table, not a booth. They made me fight with Christos, and that's why I lost a tooth. Why does this movie blow? Maybe because they used too much slow-mo.
Oh. That's a really deep poem today.
Too much slow-mo.
Hey, Brian Dunaway, let's hear yours.
Oh, do I get to do one this week? Desperado. Yep. Like piss-warm Chango beer pulled from the tap. Hey, that's my brand, and so is this movie. Could have used more scorpions at the scorpion crossing, though. Banderas O-face emoji.
He loved going, oh, when he was, he had some energy back then. was this what's the last thing we saw before this?
Throw Mama from the Train.
Oh, that's right. Throw Mama.
No. I mean, what was the last one we saw that had him in it?
The last Banderas thing that we saw?
Was it Uncharted? Where's it back?
No, it was
I think it was Uncharted.
It might have been Uncharted. I think you're right.
Because prior to that, we saw him as in that assassin thing where him and somebody else were always facing off as dual assassins. Stallone,
I think, right?
Is it Stallone? Oh, right. The Jackal.
I really felt like we watched the two Zorro movies most recently. I think
definitely Uncharted is more recent. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was Uncharted. And that was a stupid character because he died too soon. That was dumb. Yeah. Anyway, let's get to Brian Ibbets.
Desperado. It's Bucho, man. Who? Bucho. No, man. Bucho's not here.
Good call. Thank you. Good pull off the Chango there. That's pretty good. Nice.
God, I listened to that album a billion times.
Yeah. I was a big fan of those guys back in our young days. They have a whole weed company now. I guess they do pretty well.
Yeah.
Both of them do. I know. Chong does,
They're together now. They got like a whole. I get advertised all the time.
Back together again.
Yeah,
nice.
I get advertised constantly from their weed company on Twitch, or not Twitch.
they really know their market.
Yeah.
TikTok.
Twitter, whatever the hell X is. Oh, okay. But they're always going, here's, even if you can't get this, CBD available in your state, order it now. So they got the whole range. And anyway, good for them, nice. I guess.
Play to your audience. You're doing good. You're doing just fine.
They should have to, by law, only hire people named Dave, though. I think that's how that should go.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right. Up to work.
Let's get to the alternate titles. These were just handed to me. This original title was supposed to be, this movie's going to call itself Guitar Hero. That's interesting. But I think
I see. That's really funny, Scott.
Yeah, it's not bad. Or, or almost Knives In, which is interesting.
Oh, Knives In. Yeah. Even better.
Like that too.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah. Moving on to some emails and texts and things. Here's a email, filmsack@gmail.com from Wooz, W-O-O-Z, who says, "Hey, Sackmeisters, you mentioned the new WKRP while discussing Throw Mama from the Train. Yeah. Michael Desbarres, who is a DJ in the new series. DeBarra, is that it?
Just DeBarra, yeah, Michael DeBarra. Yep.
Oh, are the ES silent? I guess they are.
Yeah, he's it's a French name. He's British. You've seen him in a bunch of stuff.
Oh, okay. So I'd know this guy if I saw him.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll have to look it up. Who is a DJ in the new series, was in the original series. He played Dog in the first season episode, Hoodlum Rock. Loved the show and loved learning again why it is that Owen doesn't have a friend. Thanks.
That is some deep WKRP knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael DeBarra. Well, I mentioned because I said the main dude was the guy whose wife was the one who took all the plaster casts of rock stars' penises, which is true. His wife was Pamela DeBarra, who's famous for being plaster caster and having, she has plaster casts of like Jimi Hendrix and Robert Plant.
Plaster cast of your penis.
Wow.
So this is not to be confused with DeBarge, who lets us know.
Very much not dancing in the sheets, but a lot of that did go on.
This guy's cool. He looks cool still. Born in 48, but he looks like he's just rocking out now.
Yeah. He looks like a rock star, basically.
Yeah. Like Billy Idol like style stuff.
Or at least he, in his interview photo. When Robert Palmer left Power Station, he took over and led Power Station when they were at Live Aid.
Oh, interesting. Well, what's his name was addicted to love, so he was out.
he couldn't get it. He went to rehab for love.
Yeah, for love. Here's a quick text from a listener. This is 801-471-0462. It says, "Here is an incentive to see the Goonies. Joey Pants is one of the bad guys. Come on, man. Joey Pants taking a shot in the nuts. How can you say no?" says this anonymous listener. I mean, yeah, I don't feel like we have...
I just picked up a DVD copy of The Goonies this past week.
Is that how you'll watch it when we do this?
The thrift store. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen Goonies.
Well, I have the VHS as well, so we'll see. We'll just see how it goes.
I've never seen it. We need to see it. I don't know when we're seeing it. It's insane. So it's insane that I haven't seen it. I agree. It's stupid. It's so let's fix it.
Everybody's got something.
Everybody's got something. Finally, we got an email or voicemail, and I love this voicemail. Because this guy's called before. I just love his vibe. So anyway, here it is. Let's hear him out.
Hey, guys. Man, I got one for you. We all love Sam Elliott. And we all like, who's that guy with, he's got a great, great head. Peter Weller, RoboCop. They did a movie together that I have never heard of. And to my knowledge, no one I know knows about it. But you guys, dude, it's got Sam Elliott throwing a fishing rod to get away. Who throws a fishing rod to get away? And there is a fist fight in the third act on a moving roller coaster.
Yes.
With Sam Elliott. And, dude, I guarantee you that this has the trope of the second act that Peter Weller doesn't make it. Well, the trope that the buddy doesn't make it. That being looks like Peter Weller. Well, that's all I thought, you know. But I don't remember. Anyway, it's called The Shake Bell.
Yes.
Man, it's not even streaming.
Well,
I don't know. We'll put it on your list. And, I mean, look at this thing. It's at 20%. and it's lit like a Chobani commercial against a late night talk show background. This is perfect for you guys.
Yeah.
Hey, Randy, dude, you were right. Never change, man. You guys have a happy new year. And just make this one the best one yet.
I'll have whatever, whatever he's having. I'll have what he's having. My gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever you do, don't tell me what I was right about. Thanks.
Nope.
Yeah.
Just live, but no. Why would you want to know? That's
you can apply it to one thing. We're going to allow you to apply that right. I was right to one thing, Randy. Your choice.
Yeah, you pick.
Get right credits.
I was right that Real Genius would be an awesome film segment.
Disagree.
Agree.
Disagree.
Shakedown. That's one I haven't seen in a million years.
Don't think I've ever seen it.
As soon as Gymkhana is streaming, we're watching Gymkhana.
Gymkhana.
Of course, yeah.
All right.
So we need to cover Blue Steel as well. Go ahead.
Mm. Shakedown is a Jim Glickenhaus movie, and everything that Jim Glickenhaus directed is on our watch list somewhere.
That's a funny name.
Jackie Chan's The Protector. I can't wait to watch that with you.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Who else is in this? John C. McGinley. This is an old one. How old is this?
Yep. 90, 80
something. 88. Wow, look at Sam Elliott. Okay. Mm-hmm. This seems dumb not to see. We should see it.
Yeah.
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 Why did he say about the talk show background? It's just this New York. It's not like it's a talk show.
A Chobani commercial against a talk show background.
I love that. Whoever this is, he never says his name. I love his calls. Anyway, keep those coming. 801-471-0462. Hey, guess what? We have some new patrons this week. Spicy Pepperoni, Brian Grabowski, and Tim Monroe. I love spicy pepperoni.
I want some right now.
Yeah, that would be great.
I like bland pepperoni. Is there anything like that?
Nobody likes bland pepperoni.
No.
Something nobody said ever.
If you've ever had bland pepperoni, you've just found out that you have old pepperoni. I've done that before. I went to eat one. I'm like, that's kind of, what is that?
What is it? Tell me what it means when you say bland. It just loses its flavor or something? Or?
Yeah, it just loses its flavor. It's weird. Okay. It's just like... It's like, what is this? It's like a wax meat. It's weird.
Wax meat. Yeah, because it's kind of oily, right?
And I looked
at
the expiration date, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that needs to go in the trash.
Yeah, don't eat that. That's a bad idea. I had some chicken, some very suspect chicken yesterday. It didn't give me any trouble. Oh. Everything's fine. But I know I was playing with fire a little bit.
Yeah, you do this. How long was it in the fridge?
Probably 2 weeks.
Oh, Scott. My
goodness. I know.
2 weeks.
I know. I ate it, and it tasted a little plasticky and a little like...
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That's
a little bland? Yeah.
Yeah. And
that's what happens to meat.
I didn't eat it all. Threw it the rest of the way, but I ate enough of it where if it was going to be a problem, you know, like food poison-wise, it would have kicked in by now. So I'm good. I'm right. Clear.
Wow.
That is real dumb. Anyway.
Scott, you do know, right, that like old rice can kill you?
I hadn't heard that. How does that work?
That.
Yeah. How's that work?
Yeah, so there's a specific toxin that can grow on like your leftover rice that you put, even if you put it in the fridge. There's people
uncooked
who die.
Uncooked or cooked rice? Like uncooked
rice?
Cooked rice. Okay.
So let's see.
Yeah, cooked pasta too, but people die from the rice.
Apparently was a big deal on TikTok called fried rice syndrome. Let's see. What is it? Case of the Brussels student. The illness was food poisoning caused by the Bacillus cereus bacterium, which grows on rice. If you let rice sit out.
Yahoo serious?
Yeah, you're right. This is bad for you. Well, don't do it. I kind of don't eat rice
in general. You can't eat rice.
We should just all go to Subway and eat fresh. Yeah, stop doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, let's not go there. It never feels fresh to me.
Go to Jersey Mike's.
Go somewhere good like that.
If Jersey Mike's just wasn't a Pepsi shop,
you need your Coke.
Get you with the Pepsi. Oh,
I don't mind the Pepsi.
It's so frustrating when the food is my favorite, but they don't have Coke products.
I don't mind.
Nothing worse. Nothing worse.
You could go to another. You could get your sub and then go two doors down and get a Coke somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know the closest convenience store to the Jersey Mike's as well.
There we go.
Oh, I want to go now.
I think I'm going to go get a Jersey Mike's after this.
Yeah, I might do it today. Pepsi's fine. I'm fine with Pepsi. I don't care. Does Pepsi, when people say, is Pepsi okay? I'm like, yeah, it's totally cool. It's fine. Yeah. Let's do it.
I love how they always like get the apology face on. Oh, is Pepsi okay?
Yeah.
What is that going to work?
Is that going to be okay?
Because you know they've been burnt before by Randy. Yeah, who went, what? What?
I'm never coming here again.
Money back. Good day, sir.
I said, hey. But maybe I could go buy you a Coke. I said, good day.
I so wildly overvalue a restaurant with a Coca-Cola freestyle machine. It's like,
oh, I love those.
Like Wingstop. Wingstop has a Coca-Cola freestyle machine, and I'm willing to spend so much more money there to have access to that thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it makes sense. Look, I don't want to besmirch the good name of Coke, but I'll do a Pepsi now and again. It's fine. Yeah. I don't mind.
Whatever. Whatever. It's
Pepsi One, Coke Zero, whatever you've got, I'll take it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's liquid down the hole.
Is it bubbly sugar water? Yeah. I'll take it.
Nothing with the word diet in its name.
I'm just going to pee you out later.
Zero.
Yeah, zero, always zero.
Yeah, zero.
Zero's okay.
That's going to
pee you out later.
Pepto-Bismol Zero the other day at the store is great.
Oh my gosh, that sounds horrible. Why? Don't forget our...
Tastes bad, but no calories.
Exactly.
No calories.
Don't forget to go where to our Patreon is. All right, patreon.com/filmsec. That's patreon.com/filmsec.
Go to Patreon.
That is going to do it for the show. Real quick, our next movie is Black Hat.
Black right. Hat.
So this is a 2015,
so not Blue Steel. Right.
2015 Michael Mann movie that we realized we had never seen. Like none of us have seen it.
Yeah.
Mm. Very exciting.
Oh, none of us. Good. This is brand new to all of us.
Yeah, I like those.
That's right. Viola Davis, Hemsworth. Yeah. Okay, cool.
It's a Netflix deal or no?
All right. Okay, cool. Yeah, man. All right. Yeah, cool.
All right. I'm in. Okay, cool.
I don't remember this at all, but it's got Holt McCallany in it. It's got your...
I think that's right. Yeah.
John Ortiz. Good deal. Yeah,
you guys watch what you want to watch. I'm watching Shakedown and talking about it next week. Whatever.
Please all do. Right.
You do that.
Do what you do.
Let us know how
Let
that goes.
Let us know where you find it.
Yeah. That'd be great.
So you can buy it. You just can't stream it.
Oh, well then F you.
And I could have swore I saw it not that long ago on when I was doing one of my little, you know, they got the movie channel on the Roku TV. I was watching Blue Steel this past. I could have swore I watched not that long ago Shakedown as well.
Mm. He would sure. he had,
remember Jamie Lee Curtis in Blue Steel?
No, I remember.
I remember it existed.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I ever saw it.
That's not the one with Travolta where they shake their crotches a lot, right?
Yeah, that's Perfect.
Oh, Perfect. Please don't. Can we never watch Perfect? I don't know if I can do it. This is not too Perfect.
I don't want to watch them shaking their crotches at each other.
I realized the Black Hat was a bit of a bummer for him. Well, whatever. He went on to do Ford v Ferrari, and that was a big hit. I don't know. He's fine. I like Michael Mann. He's making Heat too. I don't know if you guys know about that, but he's making.
Oh,
a
I didn't
heat,
know that. That's cool.
Making a Heat follow up. I'm very excited.
New Heat.
Double Heat.
New Heat. Who dis? All right, that's it. Filmsack.com is the website. Patreon.com/filmsack is the place to support your favorite film sack show, the one called Filmsack. So do it.
We are the best film sack show ever.
We really are. Also, you can find
that network.
You can also leave us reviews when you get your podcast reviews out and stuff. Those are always good for us. So please do that. That will do it for today. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Piss warm.
We'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
All I got is piss warm chongo.
That's my brand.
Hey, Film Sack crew. Dylan here. Just listening to your episode on 3 Days of the Condor. I think that's the episode. I don't know. I don't watch the movies ever, but I'm one of those freaks. Randy mentioned that they named a beach after From Here to Eternity. And then Scott said, let's not name things after movies, which I thought was ironic because you just spent so much time talking about Robert Redford naming Sundance. So just wanted to point that out. Anyway, love the show. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Scott. This is Chad from South Carolina. It's been a long time, man. I just want to call you guys up. I actually felt like I had to. I was listening to Film Sack, saw that you did Backdraft, and I was like, God, you know, I haven't watched that movie in forever, decades. So I went back and decided to sit down and watch it with the boys and have some fun and just kind of sit back and enjoy what I think is one of the best podcasts ever. And so I just got done with it. So I just felt like I had to call you guys and in order just to tell you, fuck you! Fuck, I can't believe you made me watch this hot garbage. Wait, they ran out of budget, so they got one actor who's going to wear a Clark Kent mustache that's going to fool me into not being able to discern that he's the same damn person. And in fact, the fire sneaks in and out of rooms like a ghost in a bad Scooby-Doo cartoon while making the same sounds as the T-1000 getting shot up by a howitzer shotgun before it falls into the vat of molten lava. It just is absolutely ridiculous. I can't believe you want to know why no one else makes firemen movies? It's because of this piece of garbage. Because they know that the world's got enough freaking toilet paper because of this show. And that's exactly where this movie belongs, because you guys maybe think it was a good idea to watch it. It's right up your butt. That's where it belongs. Anyway, man, I hope you guys are doing well. Take care, buddy.